All right, well, after a break off last week, I just do want to thank Brother Dave for filling in last week and giving the Gideon's presentation there with all of that. The Gideon's ministry is an incredible ministry. It's the longest running ministry in our day and age. Over 100 years, is that correct, Dave? That Gideon's ministry has been around and just giving out the Word of God, and there's no better thing that we can give out than the truth. And Brother Dave, thank you for sharing that ministry and updating on that. We're getting back into our study all about heaven. And, I'll be honest with you, when I'm a big fan of nice, bright, sunny days. And I like to think that it's going to be nice and bright and sunny up in heaven there. And certainly when it's kind of dark and dismal around here, because maybe the rain and it's a little cooler, boy, it just gets you all excited all the more about heaven, doesn't it? It's something, folks, that as we look at our world and as we look at the situations in this that are taking place, all the chaos, all the turmoil, all the corruption that is going on, folks, guess what? God never promised this world's going to get any better. It's going to get worse. As a matter of fact, you look in the gospel accounts there, our Lord spoke and said, "As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." You want to talk about bad, you look back and see how bad it was in Noah's day. There were only about 6 people that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Pretty amazing, isn't it? To stop and think about it, the world was in such disarray and evil was such a reigning, prominent thing that God had to look down upon this what He had created and expel His wrath and judgment. Sobering thought to think of. But folks, for us as believers, for us who have found grace in the eyes of God, we don't have to worry about that judgment. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. What we are looking forward to is that hope of eternal life that moves us beyond these circumstances and situations. Folks, I don't know about you, but are you looking forward to heaven? Are you captured? Are you captivated by the very thought? That's what this whole series has been about. Getting our minds fixated on the idea that, guess what? It's not about our life here so much as it is about the life to come. And so, in the last couple weeks, we've looked at this study, if you will. I don't know if my slide's going through there or not, Dave. With all of that, if you want to just click through to the next slide there with that. We looked previously at, do we truly believe? And that's Christ asked that question to His disciples there. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And that foundational question, because guess what? If we don't believe in who God is and who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is and what He has said, then folks, all this stuff about heaven is not going to make any sense at all or have any sense of worth or value to you and I. It starts right there. Do we truly believe? And it moves on then to the idea of, do we really have a home? Do you believe that if Jesus is who He said He is, then you must believe also in what He says He has for you? And folks, that takes a great measure of faith in that regard. We have a home in heaven. And I can't help but think about Abraham and here in this life on earth and his wanderings and searching for a home. And his home was not made by the hands of man, but the hands of God, folks. We can fabricate our homes and we can make them pleasant and comfortable and embellish them in every way. But guess what? This isn't our home. Our home is with God. The next slide there, then the third point here that we're going to look at in regarding to this place prepared for you is, do we realize the greatest worth of heaven? You can go to the next slide there, Dave. Do we realize the greatest worth of heaven? Go to the next slide there after that. John 14:3. Look at the latter part of that verse. Let's just read the whole verse there, if you will. John 14:3. That's the thrust of our study this morning. And it says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We as believers know that heaven is a place of great wonder and perfection. Amen. For most of us, we don't know what that means, though. What does that really mean in terms of an absolute place of wonder and eternal bliss and all these different things? You know, the Scriptures themselves repeatedly talk about heaven as a place of absolute amazement and profound beauty. As a matter of fact, you'll look in the gospel accounts there, and in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, as our Lord hung on that cross, He looked over, and this is such a beautiful image to you, me as I read this passage. He looked over to that thief that was next to Him, that one who believed in Him. And He said to that one, He says, "Today thou shalt be with Me." In what? Paradise. Paradise. Isn't that exciting? Are you ready to be in a place of paradise? I don't know about you, but this world just loses more and more of its appeal as I think more and more about heaven. I don't know about you, but I think that's what God had in mind as well as we develop that walk and that relationship with Him, that we're more craving the things that await us in heaven than we are craving the things of this world. Because as we develop that walk with Him, what we start to realize more and more in this Christian life is how the things of this world don't satisfy. The things of this world don't provide a concept of paradise at all. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of paradise, I'm thinking of this tropical island with the sun and the sand and the beaches and just sitting there and enjoying the day and all those different types of things. But as you think about even that, if we can stop for a moment and manufacture in our minds what this whole definition or description of paradise would mean to us, the idea of sitting somewhere or being surrounded by something for all of eternity, folks, after a while, it would just get pretty boring, wouldn't it? After a while, the novelty of whatever it may be that you are drawn to or that appeals to you, it wouldn't take long for us to be like, well, this is boring, what's next? What's next? And I don't know about you, but I would think that the idea of sitting on a cloud and playing the harp all day, after a while, I think I'd run out of songs to play in it all. After a while, I think I'd rather play a different instrument than the harp. This whole idea that we can fabricate in our minds about what really means to be in a place of paradise has no earthly connotation to it at all. The sense of experience, the sense of surrounding, the sense of environment that we can put together to make some sort of self-gratifying paradise for you and I is not at all what God had in mind when He said, "Today thou shalt be with Me in paradise." What does that all mean? In paradise. If you go to the next slide there, Dave, we'll look at this question. What is of the greatest value in heaven? You know, we look at that first study there and talking about believing in the Lord and believing in what He said. And then we look at this sense of this heavenly home that we have awaiting us. And you know, it is exciting to look forward to the fact that we're going to have a home in heaven with our God. But really, is that the greatest worth of heaven? Is that really the ultimation and culmination of what it means to be in paradise? I think God has something even greater in store in all of that. You know, I hear about, you know, folks that are just out there to get the rewards, to get the crown, to get that home in heaven with that, you know, nice landscaped yard and, you know, and everything like that. And honestly, it paints more of a dismal picture in my mind. Is that really what heaven's all about? Is that really what is the most valuable thing that we can think of when it comes to paradise and heaven? What makes heaven really so worthwhile and aspiring? Some have viewed that the idea of no pain and suffering And I would venture to say that in our day and age that we live in, we have enough painkillers and drugs to help take care of all the agony and pain and suffering that you would go through here on this earth. That's not what heaven is all about. Or maybe it's the idea of no more sin. You could honestly go to any multiple places on this earth that would grant you isolation so that you don't have to face the exposure of certain things. Or maybe it's the idea of enjoying the perpetual relaxation for all of eternity. I have right here, some of us already have it too good in that department. Can I get a witness on that? As we look at this, the idea of doing nothing gets downright miserable after a while. And listen to this closely with me here. Those who have no sense of purpose in their life really miss out on any real sense of pleasure and happiness in life. Do you believe that? Those who have no real sense of purpose in their life really miss out on any real sense of pleasure and happiness in life. Something to think about with all of this is the fact that, guess what? We're not going to just be up in heaven sitting around drinking our iced teas and watching the beauty of everything. That's not paradise. And guess what? That gets a little old. And if there's no sense of purpose, then pleasure fades away before too long. Pleasure fades away before too long. G.K. Chesterton made the statement that weariness does not come through being, meaningless does not come through being weary of pain, but being weary of pleasure. You see, I think in some ways, we as Christians, many of us have gotten confused about this whole concept of paradise and thinking that this is all about our self-gratification, our self-sufficiency and all these different things. And folks, one of the things that we have to look at is that when we look at this life here on this earth, we realize, as the scriptures teach us, that first and foremost, it's not about us, is it? It's about God. It's about God. It's about our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for our sins and redeemed us back into our right relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves us eternally. And indeed, if that's the case here on this earth that God has expressed and revealed to you and I, why would it be any different in heaven? Why would it be any different in heaven? Truly, these things do make up heaven in some regard, but the ultimate consummating thing that makes heaven, heaven, that without this one thing, heaven wouldn't be heaven, is God Himself. That's it. Spoiler alert. Guess what? The greatest value in heaven is not the home that we have. It's our Lord. It's our Father. It's being in His presence, folks. That's what it's all about. You know what's so awesome? Is right now, Dorothy Crook is in the presence of her Savior. Dorothy Crook is seeing her God face to face for the first time. And guess what? All the things about heaven in terms of a home or the idea of sin and death eradicated or suffering or relaxation, that doesn't matter. What matters is she's seeing her God and she's with Him. That's what it's all about. It's interesting, as our Lord spoke to His disciples, you look at the intention and drive of these men, and that their heart's desire was not about all these different things that awaited them as much as it was about being with their Lord wherever He went. The great words of Peter in John 6:68 say, you can go to the next slide there, David, says this, "Then Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.'" Those who are believers in Christ, those who are adamant in their walk, in their relationship, well, one thing that they want more than anything is to be with their Lord. Peter said, "I don't want to go anywhere else. I just want to stay by your side. I just want to hear those words of life." That's what we desire. The greatest news that we could hear as believers in Christ that would mark eternal bliss is not the great house that we're going to have. It's not the state of perfection that we're going to enjoy. It's the greatest news in that we will be with our Lord. Look at what John 14:3 in that latter part says. Look in that verse and what it says. He says that where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. You know, it's really profound and at the same time simply practical that the very thing that we're working on most as believers is not our service or obedience, is it? It's not. Service and obedience that we see that we're supposed to demonstrate is really a byproduct, folks. And it's a byproduct of what? Of our relationship with God. Isn't it so true that when we're walking with the Lord, when we are in tune with His Spirit, and we are leaning by His side, that folks, the service, the obedience, the meditation, it's all in place, isn't it? That fruit of the Spirit is automatically occurring in our lives when we are yielded to that Spirit. It's pretty profound. Now you take this a step further, and isn't it amazing? Why in the world is God encouraging us to have a relationship with Him here on this earth? It's a preparation, folks. It's a preparation for the relationship that we have, will have with Him when we see Him face to face. This is the dating process right here, where we're getting to know everything about our God. We're getting to learn about Him. You remember, as a husband or as a wife, remember that period before you got married, you were wanting to learn everything you could about that person. You wanted to get to know them as best as you could. You were asking them a million questions. And then the marriage occurred. And then you really get to know them, right? Because he leaves hair in the sink after he's done in the bathroom, right? Or doesn't put the toothbrush away after they're done. No, it's a intimate, close, fulfilling relationship that takes place. Here on this earth, we're getting to know our God as much as we can. We're trying to develop our education of who God is. So when the marriage occurs, that we will be united with Him, that will be absolute, complete, fulfilling relationship. That's what we're longing for. Can I say, this is paradise. It's not about a home. It's not about a state of perfection. It's about being with our God. More than just going to heaven and being there, what we should want most is to see and be with the one that we've had this close, distant relationship with the whole time. The whole reason we are excited and anticipate heaven is because I will finally be able to see and be with my Heavenly Father who loves me so much. It is the ultimate element of paradise. Can I ask this question? What would heaven be like without God? It wouldn't be heaven, folks. Plain and simple. It wouldn't be heaven. And what's so marveling is you look at this world and it's almost like you can step back and look and you know what? We can clearly see that we were created for this right here. We weren't created for permanency in this life, in this earth. We were created for permanency in our heavenly home with our Heavenly Father, folks. There is a void there in our lives that, guess what? Because we're not created for this earth, there is nothing else in this earth that can offer the sufficiency, the fulfillment, the completion of what God offers us. It's His presence, folks. It's His presence. As our Lord spoke to that unknown thief on the cross, the best news that he could hear in that moment is this: today you will be with me. Today you will be with me.
This morning, my question is this to all of us as believers. Is what are we striving for most on this earth? And even for eternity in heaven? Some of us might be building our little own slice of heaven here on this earth, or are creating our own moment of heaven that has the pretense that is concerned only about self-gratification. Can I remind us that if this is what we are looking forward to in heaven, then I believe that you are missing what heaven is all about. Heaven is not about self-satisfaction, but it is about being with our God. This is paradise. If you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, what a comforting passage it is. Paul writes through the inspiration of our Lord to say, "And so shall we ever be with our Lord." So shall we ever be with our Lord. Isn't that awesome? That's what heaven's all about. That's what paradise really means. It's not about a particular place or a particular experience or a particular environment. It's about being with our God. Being with our Lord. I close with this morning. William Barclay made this statement. For the Christian, heaven is where Jesus is. We do not need to speculate on what heaven will be like. It is enough to know that we will be forever with Him. Do you believe that this morning, folks? I don't know about you, but this has charged my mind to really think, what am I looking forward to really about being in heaven? Yeah, it's good to know that there will be no suffering, there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow anymore, there will be no sin and all those different things, and it will be a period of rest as as the Word talks about there. But the thing that is of the greatest value in heaven, that without it, heaven would not be what it is God Himself, folks. We are working towards that. This is the period where we are getting to know our God. And folks, let me just go back to that beginning statement there a little while before. In that we look at this whole concept of service and we look at this whole concept of obedience. These are byproducts, folks. These are byproducts of our relationship with God. That's why Paul says, and I love that passage, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, in Colossians chapter 3, "If you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." That chapter is a simply marveling chapter because it sets the stage right there that if we truly believe, then what we are to be aspiring for, what we are to be fixated on, what we are to be focused in all of our being, in all of our essence, is on a very relationship with our Lord, getting to know Him in every way, because that's the ultimation and culmination of paradise. Can I get a witness on that? Is heaven to you all about an absence of suffering or an absence of sin or all those other little different things that are important? I don't want to devalue that. But the most important is that I will be with my Lord. I don't know about you, but as I look at this world and the darker it gets, the more the bright light shine of heaven is open to me, and I can't wait to see my God. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will see Him one day face to face. With my own eyes, I will behold Him." Oh, the circumstances of this life cannot compare, as Paul says, to the riches and glory that will be revealed one day. And I say those riches and glory ultimately find their essence and origin in God Himself. The reward is the fulfillment of that relationship that we've been pursuing this whole time on this earth. That's it. That's what heaven really is all about. That's paradise. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I encourage you this morning that there's nothing out there that can fulfill the void in your life, because you weren't designed for this earth. You were designed for a home in the presence of your Father and your Creator. And you can have that today. All you need to do is cry out to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, save me. Deliver me. Give me the hope of being with You one day. And God says He will. God says He will. Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? Father, I thank You for the knowledge of the fact that where we go is not just a place of relaxation, or not just a place of absence from darkness or anything like that, but where we're going is where You are, Lord. And that is what is most precious to us as Your children. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts as Your people today. Challenge us to look at this hope that we have. It's not about in some mere circumstance or some mere experience or the absence of anything, but it is about being with You. May our lives, as we pursue that relationship with You, move us to the fulfillment of that relationship one day. That's what we're working towards. Paradise isn't paradise without You, God. And as You gave those words to the thief on the cross, the greatest news that he could hear was that he would be with You. Lord, I thank You for the greatest news that we could ever hear, and that we will one day be with You. May we truly be captured by the greatest worth of heaven today, Father, I pray. And I commit this to You this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.